Sports Talk doesn't stop on Friday.
What? You give me one good reason.
It's Saturday.
And these guys have a lot to say.
Let me talk to you.
This is Force Company.
Yadda, yadda, yadda.
Brought to you by LPL Financial Nashville and Patrick Conger, financial planning for tomorrow so that you can enjoy today with Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, and Connor Newt.
Yeah.
On 102.5 and 106.3. Game Nashville app.
The game, Jake Lyman, along with Nick Frazier and Jake Wallman with you this morning. No Connor Newt currently. We will get some Connor Newt for Newt's Notes later on in the show. Should be a fun one today. We've got our reaction to the first two games of the NFL season over the last couple of nights. We will preview the Titans opener in Chicago now tomorrow. Wow, tomorrow. About 24 hours away. And also a special guest coming up at 10 a.m. We will have Vanderbilt soccer head coach Darren Ambrose on the line. His team off to an undefeated start so far this year. And they have senior day against MTSU tomorrow night. So a lot to get to with Coach Ambrose. Should be a fun show.
It should be. Hey, how fitting. MTSU alum, Vandy guy over here. It'd be a 1-2 punch.
I know. And Vanderbilt plays Alcorn State tonight. That is a 5 o'clock pregame here on the game. 6:30 kickoff. So excited for that. I might touch on that in my headlines here. I also have our question of the day today. It's on me this week.
Okay.
We'll get to that coming up at the end of this segment. But first of all, do you guys have any headlines this morning as we start the weekend?
I'll let our producer go ahead. Go ahead, Jake.
Nick, that's very kind of you. Kindness matters on this show.
Yeah, absolutely.
My headline is the quarterback situation in Green Bay with Malik Willis, the former Titan. He could start next week. I don't know. I assume Green Bay is going to make a transaction later this week. And I think a name to watch in that situation is Ryan Tannehill.
I think you're right. I tweeted about that last night. I said, I said Malik Willis will soon be backing up Ryan Tannehill again. Time is a flat circle.
That 1,000-yard stare that he's going to have when Ryan Tannehill walks into the quarterback room in Green Bay.
Yeah, that's... I don't know how that happened. Like, who would have thought Malik Willis would even be on the Packers at the end of this year? And then Jordan Love, it doesn't look good. Like, if you've seen the close-up replay, there's a pop of some sort. I'm sure we'll get MRI updates later on today. But Ryan Tannehill would be the logical move for the Packers, who are a team that feel like they can still compete if they have a serviceable quarterback.
Yeah, and I'm a little hesitant about the Tannehill talks to Green Bay. One, because obviously, yes, he's a system quarterback. But two, I don't know if he fits that offense. I really don't know. I know that's probably a bold nod take to say, but I don't know if he really fits that Green Bay offense.
Yeah, it's – I mean, I guess he did – they ran the LaFleur-style offense even after Matt left because they did not overlap. Matt LaFleur left for Green Bay the offseason before Tannehill came in. But they still ran that type of offense with Arthur Smith. So – there's probably a little bit of familiarity there, even if it's not quite as much as the Packers might hope.
Yeah, and like the reason why I'm a little hesitant about it, too, is because the way Josh Jacobs, like, if whatever he did last night against Philly is what we're going to see for the rest of the season, which I highly doubt, but, you know, that Philly defensive line is pretty solid. That's what I'd worry about, because Tannehill kind of relies on that play-action game, and if you don't have a run game to rely on to open up the play-action, then you're just kind of a one-trick pony.
Jacobs did come on towards the end of the game yesterday, but I think he had like 8 carries for 6 yards in the first half or something like that. So
it was tough.
Packers fans, we feel for you. Robbie Stanley, our resident Packers fan, we feel for you if your quarterback room ends up being Ryan Tannehill and Malik Willis. Nick Frazier, what is your headline this morning?
My headline, it was tough. I was picking between two. I was thinking about going baseball, but I'm going to go back to football. The Tennessee Vols, I think today might be my headline of the weekend. I think this team might be winning today by, as our producer is going crazy behind the glass silently, I think they might win by 20 points today. I'm not sold on Grayson McCall as the quarterback for NC State. Had a rough start last week. Last season, he kind of had the same situation. I think he threw like 3 interceptions. In his week 1 last year in Coastal Carolina. So I'm not high on just Grayson McCall in general.
Yeah, and the game, it's in Charlotte, so kind of close to both fan bases, but Tennessee travels way better than NC State does. I think there's going to be a lot of orange in that stadium. You hope that there's no letdown after the big blowout last week against Chattanooga, and maybe NC State, after a slow start last week, does improve. But we'll pick this game later, but Tennessee, they have to win this game
yes.
if they want to be a playoff contender. But I would feel pretty good if you're a Vols fan heading into this one.
Yeah, and you know, Nico Iamaleava also said before the season, I feel pretty confident that I said that right, but
Iamaleava.
Yeah, Iamaleava.
There we go.
How about that? Yeah, earlier this year before the season, he mentioned that he plays a lot better on road games. Like that, he encourages road games. So I'm ready to see his test on the road today.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that we've mentioned when previewing the Vols season was, yeah, Nico looked good in the bowl game. Can he do it in a hostile environment? This won't be quite as hostile.
Yeah.
I believe Oklahoma is probably the first true road game for the Vols this year.
They are. And I believe that's Oklahoma's first SEC game
this
year, too.
Is that right, Jake Wallman?
That is correct.
Yeah, Oklahoma going to Norman, Josh Heupel's return. That is going to be an intriguing game because Oklahoma, I feel like, is a team that Tennessee should beat, but it's in a hostile environment. A lot of emotion going into that game. That will be one to keep an eye on in a couple of weeks here. A
lot of vitriol
yes.
in that game.
Yes. I'm sure that Josh Heupel, I'm sure his team will be ready to play for him in that one. My headline will go over to Vanderbilt today, playing Alcorn State, and this is more of a call to action. If you are a Vanderbilt fan listening right now, get to First Bank Stadium. I went to Virginia Tech. All my family and friends were in town, and they were miserable last week. But guess who made them miserable? Clark Lee and that team. They came out and made a statement last week. I'm calling to action all of these Vanderbilt fans. I don't think the tickets are that expensive.
No.
Get over there and show this team that they've got your support. The students did great last week. I guess it was the first time in a long, long time that they had to stop letting students in.
I saw that.
And now Vanderbilt, they sent out an email and said that this won't happen again. If there are more students than can fit in the student section, they'll put them somewhere else. So, good news there. But if you're a family and you have Vanderbilt connections and you want something to do on your Saturday night, it's going to be a fun game. Diego Pavia's electric to watch. The defense has some great playmakers in C.J. Taylor and Langston Patterson. Go out and watch this game. Go give the Commodores a home environment tonight.
Yeah.
I think it would be super fun. Should be a game that Vandy wins by multiple touchdowns against an FCS team. Go out and support Clark Lee. They deserve it after
Bring the
a win
fun.
Last week.
I love it. Bring the fun, Jake.
I hate it for Vanderbilt because those guys, playing in the SEC, playing in this town where it's such a tourist destination, where all of these fan bases, whether it's Kentucky or Florida or Texas A&M, their fan base says, oh, well, I can go spend two nights on Broadway and go see my team play.
Yeah.
So they don't get the rockin' home environment. And I'm not saying for Alcorn State it's going to be packed and rowdy, but go give them a home atmosphere, cheering them on against the, what is the Alcorn State
They're
mascot?
The
I will research
Braves?
That. I believe
yes,
they are the Braves.
Yes.
The Braves.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was
Good
trying
job,
to think.
Nick Fraser.
I remember I watched the Steve McNair documentary.
Yeah.
And I remember seeing it and I blanked on it. But go give the Commodores a home environment tonight. I think they deserve it after the win they had last week. No matter how much my inner Hokie didn't like it, being around the Vanderbilt Athletic Department, I know how much that win meant to a lot of people over there.
Absolutely.
And I think the fan base should back them up today.
Yeah, and I think they should just ride high on the hog right now. They'll let the momentum take them into the following week after this, you know, week two. I mean, this Vanderbilt team, and I'll ask you about this later about Diego Pavia, but this Vanderbilt team, like you're saying, Jake, they're hot right now.
Yeah.
After a big week one win, they could go out and be 3-0. Beat Alcorn State this week.
And Georgia State at Turner Field next week.
Yeah. I mean, that might be a tough game, but they pull out of, out of conference win, 3-0.
Yeah.
I would be through the roof if I'm a Vandy fan.
It's possible. And then I think Missouri is next after that. So could be a chance to make a statement. Missouri is very good, but mm-hmm. an opportunity for Clark Lee and company in a couple of weeks. You hope there's no letdown mm-hmm. today against Alcorn State because that was an emotional win for those guys. almost blew a lead, then almost won it in regulation, missed the field goal, had to win it in overtime. A lot of emotion from last week. Let's hope that they can focus in, get a win today against Alcorn State. And again, I'm calling to action. If you are a Vanderbilt fan, even if you're not a Vanderbilt fan and you want something to do on your Saturday night, get out to First Bank Stadium.
Come say hey to Jake Lyman. He'll probably sign a few autographs.
Yes, I'll be up there in the radio booth. Pregame coverage at 5 and kickoff at 6:30. You can tune in around, I think, like 5:20. You'll hear my Vandy sports update for the week as we look around the rest of the Vanderbilt sports, including soccer. And I mentioned Vanderbilt head coach of the soccer team, Darren Ambrose, is going to join us at 10 a.m. Excited for that. As they prepare for senior night against MTSU tomorrow night. Again, we're going to talk a lot of NFL today. We're going to talk Titans in the second hour as they prepare for week one against Chicago tomorrow. We'll talk the first two NFL games in the next segment, but I'll get to our question of the day here before we take a break. If you want to chime in, you can text or call 615-737-1025. We want to hear from you. My question is, what is your favorite Titans season opener of all time as we prepare for another one tomorrow? There's a few good options in the last 10 years or so. The last couple have not been quite as good. Saints last year was obviously a game the Titans felt like they should have won and gave it away. Same with the Giants the year before that. But a couple of fun openers. What's your favorite Titans season opener of all time? And this could honestly go back to the first ever season opener. I believe Bengals?
That's correct. 35-34.
Yes. So, if you have a season opener that really stands out to you for the Titans, we want to hear from you. 615-737-1025. We will give our answers. Usually we do it at the top of the 10 o'clock hour. We'll do it at 9:30 today with Darren Ambrose joining us. So fun show ahead. We are just underway. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Jake Wallman here on Force Company 1025, 1063, The Game. Force Company, Saturday mornings, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Jake Wallman with you. No Connor Newt currently, but you know he can't miss Newt's notes.
He will bring the boom.
Yes, he will. He will bring the boom. We will acknowledge Connor Newt at 9:45 as he is heading down to Oxford, I believe, for the Ole Miss MTSU game.
Is that so?
I think that is where he is this weekend. So excited for him. We'll keep an eye on that game. And you can listen on 93.3 Totally Hits, Totally Nashville with Chip Walters and Joe Dubin. Before we get back into our question of the day, and again, I want to reiterate, we're asking, what's your favorite Titans season opener of all time? And we will get to those in the next segment. But first, we've had two great NFL games over the past 2 days to start off the season. Really, I said this with TD last night, couldn't have asked for much more from the opener. Literally, that much, and that's great radio, kept the Ravens from going for two to win that game. Isaiah Likely just on the back chalk line. And then last night, back-and-forth game between the Packers and the Eagles. Obviously not the way anyone would have liked for it to end, with Jordan Love getting hurt on the second-to-last play of the game. Malik Willis couldn't get the pass off for a possible Hail Mary. But all in all, two very entertaining games. Hopefully means for a really fun NFL season.
I hope so. I mean, every time we see a primetime game, especially last season, it was like, oh, who can score the least amount of points? 10-7, 17-10. I'm like, all right, are we going to see touchdowns? Like, that's why I feel like everybody loves college football, is because teams score, you know? So, I mean, now you're seeing this new era of NFL football where it's quarterback-led and all these wide receivers are so versatile. I mean, Xavier Worthy, a explosive player.
I mean, fast.
He was clocked at, what, 18, 21 miles an hour, something like that?
I mean, he caught that like little pitch back, turned the corner, and no one was touching him.
No. Great blocking, by the way, for Kansas City. That was a phenomenal job. I mean, they just dropped that jet sweep toss right into the right side, and he's open to the races.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the NFL, they let Patrick Mahomes get Xavier Worthy. Yeah.
Oh, the Bills. Patrick Mahomes get Xavier Worthy.
Yeah, it's.
But you know what? In the Bills' sake, if they think Keon Coleman's the man, I mean, then they didn't really lose out on a draft pick there.
Yeah, and I get it. Like, Xavier Worthy, there's been so many. Like, for every Tyreek Hill, there's a John Ross of the guy who just runs a super fast 40 but can't actually play the position. But if you watch Xavier Worthy at Texas, I feel like you knew that he was more than just a fast 40 time.
Right. You got to look at him more as not your gadget guy in Kansas City. Like, he can actually catch the football, whereas they've been using Mecole Hardman the last year and a half as their gadget guy. And, I mean, don't get me wrong, Andy Reid and his offense, everybody's a gadget guy. Like, Isaiah Pacheco can catch the ball out of the backfield. You can look at other guys besides Mecole Hardman. I mean, now you have Xavier Worthy, and can't forget about Travis Kelce. I mean, even this past Thursday, they used Noah Gray in a more, I guess, stronger role in that offense. I mean, there was a lot of seam routes up the middle. I think it was like two, maybe three seam routes with Noah Gray.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it opened up the game for Mahomes, not only just in the passing game, but the run game as well.
Not a ton of Travis Kelce.
Yeah.
Not a ton of Mark Andrews on the other side, which surprised me, but they found, like, the backup tight ends honestly kind of made more of an impact than the starters did.
Yeah, and I guess it's a growing pain or a growing period with Derrick Henry now being in Baltimore. Maybe John Harbaugh is now getting the understanding of, oh, this is what the Titans have been struggling with the last couple of seasons. You got to give Derrick Henry a certain amount of touches to get him going. But, you know, everybody has already mentioned this past week, like, they're just having Derrick Henry for the playoffs in this regard. Like, it's not for the regular season. But at the same time, you would like to get some chemistry, at least a little buildup of chemistry, that is, for the regular season with Derrick Henry. And also, you know, you got to look at it this way as well. You can't rely on Derrick Henry's run game the whole season as well. Like, you got to find a happy medium. That's what I'm trying to get to.
Yeah, and Derrick Henry, as we know as Titans fans, it's harder when you fall behind.
Mm-hmm.
And they tried to establish him early. They got him going on that first drive, but once they went down, what was it, like 20-10 at one point, it was tough for them to really get Derrick Henry involved. And Justice Hill got a lot of snaps and a lot of touches. Interested to see how that works out, because Jared made a good point yesterday that Lamar Jackson's biggest issue is playing from behind and trying to sling it all around the yard and come back. Derrick Henry doesn't really help him there.
Mm-mm. And that's why I think they need to establish the run game like immediately in that, and just in games in general. Like, I feel like you have to give Derrick Henry the bell cow amount of numbers of snaps in the first half. That's what I have to look at for Derrick, is that you get him about 15, 20 carries for the most part in a total game, but you have majority of those come in the first half. Because if you have majority of those come in the first half, he's warm, he's ready to go, and then when you need him to really, I guess, put the nail in the coffin in the second half, he's ready to go. Like, and that's the thing. If the Lamar Jackson and the Ravens do their best not to trail, that's their, like you're saying, that's their biggest problem is trailing. If they don't trail at halftime this year, I guarantee you they are a 11, 12, 13 win ball club.
Yeah, and they're going to beat up on a lot of bad teams this year.
Yeah.
But can they beat Kansas City in the playoffs? That's the question.
Maybe it's just me, but I thought, you know, looking at when Derrick Henry scored that first touchdown, I think he had like 34 yards at that point. I thought he was kind of off to a hot start, and then, of course, they get behind, and, you know, then you got to go a completely different route. But my question, you mentioned, Jake, you mentioned the backup tight ends and, you know, the game that Isaiah likely had. On that overturned touchdown call there at the end of the game, I feel like, as an official, I feel like you can't assert yourself into that moment. I mean, after looking at the play, he was out of bounds, but they were going to go for two no matter what the call was.
Mm-hmm.
My belief is that as an official, you have to let them let the teams play it out in moments like that. But
he was out of bounds.
Yeah, I mean, he was out of bounds, but
that, like, yes, in the moment, if there was no video replay, sure, I'm always on the side of, like, don't make it about you. But when you have video replay and you can see, like, yes, if he had been wearing white cleats and you couldn't really draw the line between and it wasn't clear and evident that he was out of bounds, I'm all for leaning on the side of let the players decide the game. But as close as it was obvious that he was across that line.
Oh, 100%. I mean, that big toe couldn't have been any bigger. I mean, it was evident, like you're saying, Jake. But, you know, you guys mentioned Mark Andrews. I want to go back to that real quick. Is Mark Andrews going to be the, I guess, plus one left tackle for Derrick Henry this season? Because that's what it seemed like.
Yeah.
I mean, is that going to be a part of the growing pain for Baltimore, is that they can't get Mark Andrews into the game, incorporated in the game, because of a running back like Derrick Henry that needs that extra addition to the line.
Well, and also their tackles just weren't very good.
No, exactly.
On Thursday night, which meant they had to leave Mark Andrews in to block, because Andrews is a much better blocking tight end than Isaiah Likely is.
Oh,
so they had to leave Andrews in to block, and that allowed Likely to have a big game. But for Mark Andrews fantasy owners like me, I wasn't too happy about it.
Same. Hey,
I'm an Isaiah Likely. Same. I'm an Isaiah Likely fantasy owner, and I had him on my taxi squad.
See,
yeah, I know a guy that had him on his bench.
Because I have two tight ends. It's David Njoku and Evan Engram. I'm like, well, I'm sorry, man. You're going to get the short end of the stick here.
See, nobody can blame anybody for leaving Xavier Worthy and Isaiah Likely on your bench. Those are not guys who – when I draft a team, I'm leaving my starters in for the first week. Like, I'm not tinkering with that. I drafted these guys in a certain order for a certain reason. Unless there's, like, a distinct matchup difference.
Right.
I am going to stick with it. Nobody's putting Isaiah Likely in their lineup over Jake Ferguson, even.
Yeah.
In week one. So I get it. I'm sure there are people out there who are acting like fantasy geniuses right now because they played Isaiah Likely. But most people are not playing Isaiah Likely.
Yeah.
Quickly, let's get to last night's game.
Yes.
Sloppy. The field was sloppy. There were some sloppy turnovers on both sides. But very entertaining game.
Mm-hmm.
Got big, long touchdowns from Jaden Reed for the Packers, A.J. Brown for the Philadelphia Eagles. Mm. Saquon Barkley had three touchdowns in his Eagles debut. Yeah. Entertaining game, terrible ending, and we mentioned it in our headlines. Hoping Jordan Love is okay, but could be some decisions to be made for the Packers in the coming days.
Yeah, and I want to touch on the field real quick. You mentioned, you know, it was sloppy, everybody's slipping around. Shame on the NFL. Because as a soccer fan, soccer-specific stadiums, especially if they're natural grass like Brazil was in Sao Paulo last night, you know soccer players use metal studs that are thicker and they're longer. NFL cleats are not like that. They're regular cleats that have a regular stud on them. And plus, they don't have that extra stud on the – oh, they do have the extra stud on the front of the toe. Soccer cleats don't. They kind of like space them out. That's an issue. And that's why soccer cleats have that longer metal stud, especially in the professional, you know, realm of it all. That's why you don't see soccer players slipping and sliding on fields like that. So shame on the NFL. Yes, it looked nice, but shame on them for not doing extra research and or making special cleats for the situation.
Yeah, it just seems like it's all of these international games. There's something wrong with the field, or when it's in Mexico City, it's the air quality. It's like, I get it. You want to expand the game, but let's make sure it makes sense logistically before we just jump in and risk the player's health. Do I think Jordan Love's injury was because of the field? No, it looked more just like a freak guy rolled over his leg. I think it was Jalen Carter.
Yeah.
But still, somebody could have gotten seriously hurt with those field conditions last night.
Yeah, I mean, even Malik Willis, when he came in the game for like the last two plays, he slipped on the first play. Like, I mean, he was obviously he muffed the snap, but like he's trying to go run out of the pocket. I think it was the last play when he got sacked on the third and six. I mean, he's slipping all over the place. And like, I'm not just going to point that one play out, but like there were other plays where Jordan Love would drop back, or it was Saquon Barkley, the first play of the game, that gave it to him up the middle.
Yeah.
Slipped. I'm like,
5 yard loss. Yeah.
Like, what is this? This is terrible football. It's a terrible product. And that's why I mean, shame on the NFL, because your football players that are in your league are the ones that are making you money. And yeah, when your key players are out and not making you money, you don't have a good product. So shame on you guys.
Yeah, I'm hoping that if they decide to go back to Sao Paulo or to somewhere else, I understand the soccer team played there on Sunday, I think they said. So it's not like there was a ton of time to work on the turf or anything, but it's like there's got to be some better solution than just letting those guys slip and slide all over the field all game long.
And I'm no grass savant at all,
yeah,
but looking at it from the television perspective, that grass was cut very, very low. Like not like the normal height that an NFL field is, but
yeah,
you know, the NFL has its certain ramifications where it has to be to their liking and whatnot. But to my opinion, I don't think it was high enough. And I'm not, like I said, no grass savant here, but just didn't look up to quality in my opinion.
I agree with you. I'm glad that that's the only game in Brazil this year. We'll see what London and Germany look like later on in the year. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. You can text or call. Our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Our question of the day: what is your favorite Titans opener of all time? Lots of good options. We've got some answers on our text line already. We will get to those coming up next and also our answers. Be sure to tune in to 93.3 FM Totally Hits Nashville tomorrow for coverage of the Quaker State 400. Coverage will begin at 1 p.m. and the race is set to start at 2. Coverage also available on the 93.3 FM Totally Hits Totally Nashville app and at totallyhitsnashville.com. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Jake Wallman, Force Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Back here on Forest Company on this Saturday morning, getting ready for a fun football weekend. We've got College Game Day on in studio behind us. They're getting set for Texas and Michigan in the Big House. That is coming up at 11 a.m. Central Time. Should be a fun one up there. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Jake Wallman with you. Not a ton of college football talk for us today. Mm-mm. We might get to some in the second hour. We're going to stick with a lot of NFL talk because the NFL has started. It's awesome. It's great. And the Titans play tomorrow in their debut in Chicago, facing off against the number one overall pick in Caleb Williams. We'll see. Maybe this is a new opener that we can put towards the top of the list for Titans fans. But our question of the day is, what is your favorite Titans opener of all time? And I hope you guys have been thinking about this.
I've been trying.
Do you have one that comes to mind?
I have one.
Jake Wallman, go ahead.
So I originally had two, and I've been debating on which one I was going to choose. And I'm going to go with 2019 at Cleveland.
Yeah, that's a good one, actually.
You know, we thought Marcus was still the guy. Cleveland thought Baker Mayfield was still the guy. I think a lot of pundits may have picked that game to be pretty close.
And Most people picked that game to be
Cleveland
Browns blowout.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that was OBJ's debut.
Yes, that's correct.
And Cleveland was coming off a year where I think they were not terrible. Like, they went like 8-8 or something like that.
It's like a 500 record.
And they brought in OBJ, and everybody was saying, oh, the Browns are going to the Super Bowl. That was one of my favorites as well.
And yeah, and Tennessee just went in there and just took him to the woodshed.
Was it 42-13?
43-13.
43-13.
Yeah, I was looking at the the box score from that game. And there are a lot of names in that score box that I've not thought about in a while. Shout out Deion Lewis.
Delanie Walker, I think, had three touchdowns in that game, if I'm not.
A.J. Brown had three catches for 100 yards.
Yep, in his first game as a Titan. Yeah. That was a really fun one. That was up there for me. Frazier, do you have one that's coming to your mind?
I can't recall a memory. My brain is – I was telling Joe and Big Joe and Chase McJoe this past week, like, my brain sometimes has this foggy thing over the top on how to get rid of it, so I'm in that process right now.
Well, and I get it. Sometimes it's hard to come up with, like, on the spot, like, think through it.
I mean, maybe Chris Johnson's rookie year. Maybe that's something that recalls to my brain.
Who did they play?
I'm trying to find. That was what, the 08
08,
season?
Yes. Yeah, that was the year.
Real quick.
Was that? That was Jacksonville, I want to say. That was Vince Young started the game and got hurt.
Yes. And he wore this cool little hat that I was dying to have.
Yes.
The white one with the blue.
The picture of him in the hat as he was hurt and Kerry Collins had to step in for the rest of the year.
That was a 17-10.
Against the Jaguars,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, they won.
Okay.
Yes.
That was a good one.
That might be the one for me.
I'm going to agree with one of our texters here. Marcus Mariota's debut.
That was my second one that
Winston
I thought about choosing.
Versus Mariota, number one pick versus number two pick. Both of their first drives ended with a touchdown pass to the Titans. Mm. That was a great game.
Beautiful.
And I think Marcus finished like 16 for 16. He set a record.
Yeah, he had almost a flawless game. He had the little slant to Kendall Wright that went for a touchdown. Yep. Was it Werner or was it Parrish Cox who had the pick six?
Oh, let's give it a gander.
2015.
That is, you know, that was the 42-14. Yikes.
I might be wrong on both of those. Cody Sensabaugh. Cody Sensabaugh.
There's a name drop.
Yes.
Wow.
And touchdowns from Harry Douglas and two from Bishop Sankey in his debut as well.
Don't you remember as a Titans fan, like, yes, Bishop Sankey's going to be the next thing.
Never mind. That was year two for Bishop Sankey.
Year two.
That was okay.
I think 2015 was the year.
Still had a touchdown in the game, though.
He had two. Yeah.
A receiving touchdown.
I will always remember Bishop Sankey's Monday night football game against the Steelers. He had one run that was just unbelievable, and I'm blanking on what he did exactly, but that is the one memory I have of Bishop Sankey. First running back off the board in the 2014 NFL draft.
Yes.
It was between him and Carlos Hyde.
Yikes.
I'm trying to recall the name of the Western Kentucky running back the Titans drafted. It may have been 26.
Andrews. Antonio Andrews. Yep. Yeah.
I think that is who you're thinking of. I thought he was going to be the next big thing.
Yeah, that was just before Derrick Henry.
Yes.
And
then it was that transition of Deion Lewis, Dexter McCluster, and then Derrick Henry.
Oh, God, yeah, Dexter McCluster.
Yeah.
He had two touches in that.
Sean Green.
In that game.
Sean Green. Wow.
Oh, who was the other one? I was just texting with one of my friends about this guy, and I don't know why. God, I'm not going to remember it. He was a backup for CJ for years. Never really played all that much. Text line, help me out. I literally just had his name in my mind.
It's not Chris Brown, is it?
No, not Chris Brown.
That was before CJ2K, I believe.
It was... I'm not going to get it. Anyway, those are all good ones. Trying to think of some other ones. I used to be able to go back through all the openers in my mind. Like last year was Saints, then it was...
Lindell White.
Not Lendell White. I'd remember Lendell
Smash
White.
Smash and Dash. Yeah.
This guy was like, he's one of those guys when you're sitting around at a bar with your buddies and you say this guy's name and everybody's like, oh my God, yeah, phenomenal pull.
Yeah. I just love the name DeBrickashaw Ferguson.
That's a great one.
I mean, how can you not love that name?
I'm going to look up Titans running backs Ferguson. 2010. Javon Ringer. That is who I was thinking of. Yes.
Not on my bingo card.
Javon Ringer. That's one of those names that, yeah, it's like you're sitting around watching a game with your friends and like you're just naming off random guys. Colin McCarthy and Blitty Ray Wilson. Naming off random Titans players, Javon Ringer would certainly qualify as
Michigan
one of those.
State guy. That's a Joe Rexroad type of guy.
Yes,
for you.
Yes. So, great openers. If you have another one in mind, I think that the top two are going to be Marcus's debut and that Browns game.
Yeah.
Because the Titans have lost a lot of openers over the years. I mean, the 7-hour Dolphins game.
Yeah.
They lost to the Vikings in Marcus's second year, got blown out by the Patriots in 2015.
Blown out by the Patriots in 2010?
I think you're right.
I was at that game. I remember they gave us like the signs that you can see through. They wanted to do like a blue out or something. And I was at that game and it was just, I remember it was hot.
What about the Steelers game in like 2012 or 2013 where Darius Raynaud took the opening kick and stepped back into the end zone and took a knee for a safety?
Yep.
Oh, yes. That was a CBS game.
Yes, the Titans made that game competitive. I think they still lost.
I think they did lose.
But just what a way to start the season. Immediately down 2-0.
I believe it was a hot day that day, too. It was real sunny.
It feels like all those early season games. Like, I was here... Was that 2019? The 2019 or no 20? Yes, 2019. It was the week after the Browns game. I came for the home opener where they retired McNair and George's
against
number.
The Colts.
And that was like 125 degrees. I swear, I have never been hotter than when I was in that stadium.
Now that we're talking about season openers, it's now coming back to my brain. I know we're going to break here, but the Arizona Cardinals home opener Titans home opener against Arizona Cardinals, where the Titans just absolutely got
that was a
plastered.
Game. Maybe that's what I was thinking of when I said that the game would be close.
Oh, the Cardinals won?
Yeah, the Cardinals.
Kyler Murray had himself a field day, and that was a rough one.
I'm like piecing together these openers. I couldn't do it in chronological order, but there was the Broncos 1-2. Mm-hmm. That was COVID when the Titans hit the when Steven Gostkowski missed like three field goals, and then finally. Excuse me, hit the game winner.
Mm-hmm.
And then there were some other ones.
38-13, by the way, the Cardinals won that
game. Yeah, that one was ugly. DeAndre Hopkins had three touchdowns in that game, I think.
Kyler Murray, 289, four touchdowns.
That was when that was the game Chandler Jones got Taylor Lewan five times.
Yeah,
That was ugly. Ugly game. Lots of bad openers for the Titans. They did beat the Chiefs.
That was 2010.
No, that it was.
Or maybe it was 2011.
2014.
2014. I'm all over the place.
Because I remember the Titans went 2-14 in 2014, but right. They won the opener.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next year they went 3-13, but won the opener. They won five games in 2 years, but they won week one both years.
They sure did.
Which shows you week one can lie. Week one can certainly lie to you. And we'll see what the Titans have tomorrow. Maybe we get another one that we can add to the list of great openers for the Titans.
Let's just hope it's not a lie.
I know.
That's what I'm kind of scared of.
I know. That week one lies to you. Let's hope the Titans are looking good tomorrow and they can build off of it.
It stays true.
I've said that it reminds me of that 2019 opener against the Browns, the way that it's being talked about, where all the hype's around the Bears and nobody's really talking about the Titans. I could see the Titans going in there and punching them in the mouth. Mm. And that 2019 season ended in the AFC Championship game. Don't hold me to that. I'm not predicting anything. That's a correlation, not causation,
there.
But looking forward to tomorrow's game again, noon in Chicago for Tennessee. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'd love to hear from you. Be sure to tune into 1025-1063 The Game tomorrow for Vanderbilt. Today for Vanderbilt football. The Commodores will take on Alcorn State at home with pregame beginning at 5:00. Kickoff at 6:30. Coverage is also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. When we come back, Connor Newt's going to join us for Newt's Notes. At least we believe. I believe he's calling in. So we will hear from Connor Newt coming up next here on Forrest Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Say his name and he appears. I believe in
Connor Newt.
I believe in
Newt's Notes.
Because you love him in London and Paris and Tokyo, America, Scotland, and Canada.
The greatest intro in sports radio for Newt's Notes. Even though Connor Newt is not in studio with us today on Forrest Company, we have Newt's Notes at 9:45. We have to. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Jake Wallman here in studio. Connor Newt now joins us on the phone lines. Take it away, my man.
You got the wrong number. This is a Zaxby's.
Well, in that case, can I take a boneless wings and things?
No, the correct answer is five-finger chicken cow with double fries and a large sweet tea. That's the only answer.
Connor, right. How is are you on the road to Oxford right now?
We are. We are about an hour in to the road to Oxford as we watch our MTSU Blue Raiders get just absolutely manhandled by the Rebels, but that is neither here nor there. I'm in a car with four other guys. I told them shut up and let me be on the radio. So, I couldn't miss a show.
What would we do with the 9:45 segment if you weren't here? I think we'd just have to sit in silence.
Dead air.
Yep, we'd sit in silence for 15 minutes.
Connor, by the way, that intro played and I once again lost it and laughed to the top of my just. Can't help it anymore, man. I really can't. It's too funny.
I'll tell you this. I'm making more. I am making like four more, and they're just going to play on a rotation.
Oh, Lord. This is great. Oh, absolutely great. Yeah, Connor, so your expectation for Newt's Notes today with MTSU, give it to us.
Well, I will give you my expectations, and then I'll roll into the thing I actually wanted to rant about. But, I mean, the expectations are low. If we're being perfectly honest, that's not a negative towards MTSU. It's just let's be honest, they're the sacrificial lamb here. I feel like they could hang it close for maybe a quarter, and then Ole Miss breaks loose. I mean, the Ole Miss offense is just absolutely electric with Jackson Dart throwing the ball to Trey Harris and Juice Wells. It's just unheard of. In terms of offense, like you only find this in the SEC. So, I mean, I feel like this is going to be worse than the Alabama game last year in terms of scoring. I think my prediction over on Go Middle, shameless plug there. I had it listed Ole Miss winning 62-17, I think is an appropriate way of putting it, but yeah, I mean, we'll see. I'm here for the vibes, man. I'm here for an SEC football environment. So let's do it.
Well, first half's going to be close. I'll say that. That's all.
Yeah. It's a different team under Derek Mason, for sure. I feel like they come in fired up from last week after nearly blowing it to Tennessee Tech. I feel like they're ready to play. And let's be honest, Derek Mason's got a winning record against Lane Kiffin. So that is certainly something to look out for. Does he bring that same edge over to Oxford with the Blue Raiders?
It's possible. You're not wrong.
It's a big line. It's what, 43, I think I heard them say yesterday.
Yeah, 42 and a half.
But, I mean, they've got to play better than they did last week. But Ole Miss is coming off a 76-0 win or something like that. Like, there's going to be a step back from that, you would think. I think, I'm not going to say it'll be close, but I think maybe it's competitive early on in the game.
Connor, I don't mean to take up your segment real fast, but do you think Derek Mason...
I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
I was going to say real quick, do you think Derek Mason provides like a wrinkle of some sort in his game plan?
That's a tough question. To be honest with you, I'm not completely sold on the Derek Mason era yet. I still think there's a lot of room for improvement, and I think that'll grow over time once we get into the easier non-conference. I say easy. They have Duke coming to town, and then Memphis heading to Memphis. I do think a factor into this one is Western Kentucky comes to town next week, and that's obviously a huge rivalry, 100 miles of hate. But I think we could see something, and you know, Derek looks ahead. The team looks ahead. Kind of a blowout from Ole Miss. But, I do think there is a little bit of a wrinkle in the Derek Mason system so far. They didn't finish last week. They had a 21-0 lead at one point, and they blew it. So, we'll see. It's overreaction season, obviously. It's week one. Week two now. So, we'll see how this goes. But, I am looking forward to this game, I will say. I can't wait. I've told you all before, and I've told our listeners, Ole Miss runs in my blood, so it's good to get back in good old VHS.
Well, we're excited for you, Connor. We miss you in studio. We didn't get nutrition. Do you have you had anything to eat on your trip so far?
I had multigrain Cheerios this morning before I walked out the door.
Love it. Any thoughts on the NFL games we've seen so far the last 2 days? Really entertaining stuff so far.
Very entertaining, yeah. Jordan Love's done. I will put it that way. I tweeted out last night, and it kind of blew up. As a fantasy owner of Jordan Love, I had never gone to the waiver wire and picked up Matthew Stafford so fast. I literally did it within seconds of that knee getting blown. But it is promising to see him walk off the field and on his own. And it looked like he was catering more towards his ankle than the knee, which is promising. It did come out today. He's getting, I think, an MRI done on his knee. So we'll see how that goes. But Saquon Barkley, I was high on him coming into the season. I think when we did our offensive draft, I took him and I said, watch out for him. And of course he goes out and scores 3 touchdowns. So the Eagles are certainly a team to look out for in the NFC. And then I think the funny going to Thursday night, I think the funniest thing that came out of that was Isaiah Likely and the post game presser saying the Chiefs are not a playoff team. So that's going to come to bite them. But, I'm just happy football is back. Full slate this weekend. College today, obviously. And then the Titans in action tomorrow in Chicago. And I'll probably be in the car watching that one. But we cannot be more ecstatic that Two-Tone Blue football is back.
Yes, it should be a fun one tomorrow. We were just talking about our favorite openers in Titans history. I don't know if you've been listening, Connor, but do you have a favorite Titans opener that comes to mind?
Oh, I believe Marcus's first game comes to mind against Tampa Bay when he threw for four, actually one of only three quarterbacks to throw for four touchdowns in their debut, the other one being Will Levis. So two of them are Titans. That comes to mind. 2019, I think you've mentioned this one before, Jake, 2019 against the Browns with all the smoke coming from the Browns, Odell's first game, and then the Titans come into Cleveland and just punch the dogs in the mouth.
Yes.
That one's a fun one.
Those are the two that we brought up. I think that if there were any other ones, maybe the Broncos
my least
one.
Favorite, my least favorite the other day, or a couple years ago, was Arizona coming to town and punching us in the mouth. So,
and TD was talking about the Giants game 2 years ago, too. That one hurt as well because Titans were up 13-0 and dominating that game, and then the Giants stormed back and won it with a two-point conversion at the very end.
Yeah. That one did hurt for sure. Can I give my rant?
Yeah, give a quick rant.
Really quick. Okay, so this is away from football. College basketball, of course, everyone on our airwaves and in the state of Tennessee knows I'm diehard Big Blue Kentucky. So did you guys see what John Calipari tweeted out the other day?
Yeah, with P.J.
picture,
Washington.
Yes, it was a picture of him with P.J. Washington, which is fine. It said, like, thanks for P.J. for stopping by and all that. One problem, P.J. Washington's wearing full Arkansas Razorback gear.
Yeah.
Unacceptable. I'm putting my fan goggles on for a second. Unacceptable. That would be like, let's say, Tim Tebow shows up at Ohio State when Urban Meyer goes to Ohio State in full Buckeye gear. Would Florida fans accept that? Absolutely not. So, same with, like, Nick Saban. Nick Saban goes to Alabama and brings in a former LSU player in full Crimson Tide gear. Just, I mean, I understand what you're doing with your coach. I appreciate that you communicate with your coach and that you are still buddy-buddy with him. But come on. You did not go to school at Arkansas. You don't get to wear the Arkansas gear.
But
you're a Wildcat.
But did he graduate from Kentucky? That is the big.
He only went there 1 year.
Yes.
Or did he go two?
No. No, but did he graduate from Arkansas?
It doesn't matter. It doesn't. Neither of those schools he graduated from.
You commit to the coach, not the school, Connor.
Bingo.
Well, you commit to the fans.
I don't know if it gets to that point.
Connor, we appreciate you calling in for Newt's Notes. Always great stuff. We'll look forward to having you back here next week and hope you enjoy Oxford. Go Blue Raiders.
Of course. And real quick, my picks, since I'm going to miss them.
Yeah.
I'll take Titans over the Bears. I'll take Tennessee over NC State today. And give me the Cats over the Gamecocks, baby.
Love it.
Can we get three booms?
You get five on the boom meter. You get boom, 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 boom.
Wow. It's like having AJ and Big Justice in the room with us.
Yeah, it's like you can just feel the presence.
Connor, all my Twitter feed is full of that.
Thank you so much for calling in. We appreciate it. And again, get to Oxford safe, and hopefully you guys get a good one tonight.
Well, if you know me, I'm never safe. And I appreciate you guys having me on, and go Ducks.
Connor Newt, Newt's Notes, calling in to maintain his 9:45 segment as he has every Saturday morning. We will take a quick break. When we come back, we will start the second hour of the show with Vanderbilt soccer head coach Darren Ambrose. Going to talk to him about his good start to the season and senior day tomorrow against MTSU. That's up next here on Forbes Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.